Hello, I'm Fiona Bonds, Associate Principal Viola with the Academy of St Martin in the Fields. Welcome to the first ever Academy podcast. Throughout this series, we'll be speaking to some of the world's great musicians, examining the work and repertoire at the heart of this much-loved chamber orchestra's yearly schedule. In this episode, we focus on the music of the great British composer Edward Elgar, and in particular his timeless cello concerto, speaking to cellist Harriet Kleich.
Well, the first thing about Elgar is it's just so close to the heart.
And conductor Sir Neville Mariner.
They don't want the conductor to change their interpretation. So his responsibility really is to wrap the orchestra, their imagination, around that of the soloist.
And who better to hear from first than the man who founded the Academy of St Martin in the Fields back in 1958, Sir Neville Mariner. He spoke to podcaster Ben Eshmade before going on tour with the Academy and cellist Harriet Kleich in October 2015.
With a long history of touring Germany, what's it like returning with the Academy?
Well, I think it's just like going home for the Academy. I think they perhaps, over their 50 years, had more success in Germany than any other country, and they're pretty well known, so they have a built-in friendly audience to greet them.
Your programme has a strong Elgar foundation, featuring the cello concerto and introduction and allegro. Has Elgar been an important composer to you?
Well, I think so. The problem for us with contemporary English composers is that we spend time working at the repertoire and performing it once, really because the audience demand for contemporary music is somewhat limited. So the 19th and 20th century English composers have become our staple diet. And of course, Elgar conveniently wrote some wonderful pieces for the Academy size orchestra.
He was a violin player himself. Do you think he wrote particularly well for strings?
Yes, I'm sure he did. Except my teacher was Willie Reed. He wrote the book about Elgar, and he was the concertmaster of the London Symphony Orchestra, and he taught me. And he used to produce copies of the scores of Elgar's violin works and say, I wrote that, and those are my fingerings, and those are my articulations. So he always felt he taught Elgar to play the violin, I think, but they were good friends.
You said before that your recording of Elgar's Symphony No. 1 and Overture in the South is one of your favourite recordings with the Academy. What makes this particular recording so special?
I think it was the Academy was at the peak of its performance during my period as a music director with them. I think it had a conglomeration of the best instrumentalists in the country at that time. It's also a new experience for us suddenly to venture into a big symphonic literature like that. And I think the enthusiasm shows in the performance. It's quite extraordinary. It's one of the most exciting and technically gifted performances, I think, that I ever worked with the Academy.
And how does the cello concerto and the allegro differ from that?
Well, of course, they're very much more individual pieces. They've become associated with personalities, of course, very much. Menuhin with the violin concerto, and Danny Barenboim's splendid wife with the cello concerto. But there's so much room for a variety of interpretation for both these pieces that I think it's most enjoyable. I think one of the most unlikely performances, or should I say unexpected performance for me, was with Nigel Kennedy. I mean, not only a virtuoso performance, but musically so well considered.
I think with Elgar, it's a very rewarding experience for the audience. They get so much out of it. Is that something that you enjoy, the sort of emotions from behind you?
Oh, very much so. And you even notice this, you know, it is notoriously difficult to sell English music to international audiences. When you take it out of England, it's somewhat of a mystery performance. It is unfailing, quite honestly, that the surprise that so many audiences and orchestras give you when they hear Elgar for the first time. It reaches everyone. It is a very personalized English, I suppose, international composition nowadays that you can take it anywhere in the world.
So carrying that on, I mean, as we've mentioned, you're tackling one of the most well-known cello concertos, if not concertos, sort of full stop. Do you think the audiences have certain expectations?
I'm sure they do. I think if you mention Elgar to an audience that is not particularly familiar with classical music, the cello concerto is the first work they mention. Just the first three chords, of course, announce themselves so positively, and you know exactly what's to follow.
Is it hard to conduct?
It's hard to be sympathetic. I mean, the conductor's job is to wrap the orchestra around the soloist's ideas. The soloist who has worked with this piece for many, many years, they come along, they don't want the conductor to change their interpretation for them on the spot. His responsibility really is to wrap the orchestra, their imagination, around that of the soloist. She will learn a lot from the orchestra, strangely enough. The orchestra will not ostensibly be giving any indications of wanting to teach her anything at all, but the fact that their experience is there for her to wallow in is extraordinary.
What for you are the sort of characteristics and stylistic devices of Elgar's music that you want to emphasise with the ensemble?
Well, I suppose the English idiom is strong. You could never quite get away from it that Elgar was idiomatic of an English composer. It's part of our tradition.
You have a long history of working with young talent at the early stages of their career, such as Julia Fischer, UJ Wang, Joshua Bell, and we'll be working with the cellist Harriet Craig. As an experienced conductor, what do you find stimulating about working with this type of artist?
Well, nowadays, I'm pretty well overwhelmed by the virtuosity of these kids. They're so young. I've had 4 or 5 year old people playing concertos to me. You know, I didn't know what a concerto was until I was about 15, you know, but nowadays they are quite astounding, and it's exciting. I mean, you can tell obviously the excitement for the young artists themselves, but even the orchestra gets involved with this. You can always tell. You put a new young artist in front of them and they're fascinated to see. I mean, if it's very, very good, they're jealous. And if it's very, very bad, they're bored stiff, you know. But it is a new experience. And always working with young people, to see this sort of talent emerging is quite frightening, really.
When it's working well, it's the fact that you're all feeding off each energy and reinventing the piece.
Absolutely. They bring, and they do bring new ideas. It's quite possible that the oldest and most experienced musician can learn something from a new voice. I mean, somebody's got something to tell you haven't thought of before.
The programme on the tour also contains Dvořák's Symphony No. 8, which draws heavily on Bohemian folk music and melodies. Why did you choose this piece to complement the rest?
Well, the funny thing is that although it does use Bohemian melodies, it's known in the trade as the English Symphony, Dvořák's English Symphony. And I suppose, again, there is something almost Elgarian about the opening movement, for instance, there. It could have been written by Elgar, too. And I suppose it was one of the first Dvořák symphonies I ever worked. I remember, I think, my first concert with the American orchestra I was with for years. Dvořák 8 started it, you know. But in those days, something like Dvořák 8 was staple diet, I think, for orchestra and audience.
Last question, with a few months to go until the concerts, what sort of preparation do you do? Do you dig out the score? Do you listen to any recordings?
Well, if I've recorded a piece myself at some time in the past, I take it out and I'm usually appalled with what I hear. The things I'd like to have changed, and I can't think what the hell that young man was doing. What was he thinking of when he did? It's fascinating to listen to your own recordings, but not very often. And certainly I will listen if it's something I haven't been playing frequently since then, because I just want to know if I can learn anything from the mistakes, usually, not from... everything is spontaneous when you get on the platform. This last couple of weeks, I've been down in the country, sort of...
Does it remind you of the countryside?
Oh, absolutely, it is. You can associate so much of any English composer's music with the country, even someone... not particularly rural, like Ben Britten. There are always places in the world. I mean, he is by the seaside, of course, with most of his music. Elgar was very deeply in the countryside, and it does help if you're trying to learn the piece to be in a similar atmosphere.
You're listening to an Academy of St. Martin in the Fields podcast with me, Fiona Bonds. Now, Elgar's Cello Concerto is one of the most recognisable and heartfelt concertos ever written. Composed in the shadow of the First World War in 1920, it didn't gain widespread popularity until the mid-1960s, when a series of sensational performances by the then 20-year-old cellist Jacqueline Dupré left a lasting impression on classical audiences worldwide. Dupré's 1965 recording is widely regarded as the definitive version, but perhaps recordings by Yo-Yo Ma, Julian Lloyd Webber or Stephen Isles hold pride of place on your iPod. Ben Eschmaid spoke to 23-year-old Dutch cellist Harriet Kreich to get her thoughts on performing Elgar's iconic masterpiece.
Could we start with how you came to the cello in the first place?
Well, that was from the family side. I was growing up in a family with four children. I'm the youngest. As I'm the youngest, I just choose one of the instruments which in our house, and it was the cello. And I really enjoyed it every day playing the cello. So it was kind of just a thing which was in our lives, to play music.
I believe you play a Giovanni Paolo Mazzini cello from 1620. How did you come by this instrument, and why do you love it so much?
Yes, I play it now since nearly 2 years. It's really a wonderful instrument, and it's so warm, and it has so many colors. I have the feeling really kind of one of the first instruments in which I can really express myself and get very close to what I want to express. The owner of this cello got in contact with me. He knew me out of concerts, and I tried it, and I really fell in love. So I could try it, and now I'm playing it.
For you, what makes a good cello? The tone, the dynamic range?
It's really a mix of out of everything, and a very personal thing. It should be so good and so fitting to yourself that you forget that it's a cello, that you really... we always think talk about singers who have their instrument kind of in the body by the voice. And I think when you reach the special moment in making music, at that moment you forget that you are playing a cello. You just make the music. So it's really a hard thing to describe. It should fit to your personal soul.
I presume it's worth a lot of money, so you have to be very careful with it.
Yes, very careful. Yeah, it's always next to me, and in the rooms and in the plane and everywhere. You nearly see me without the cello.
Edward Elgar, what do you admire about his music? What comes into your head when I say his name?
Well, the first thing about Elgar is it's just so close to the heart. It has so beautiful lines, and it's kind of always very intimate. even when it's big, and even when it's always so touching. For me, it's one of the most natural things, and it's so full of looking back, especially the concerto. Of course, we know it's written at the end of the First World War. It's kind of so looking back and elegic and just beautiful.
It's one of the most famous concertos ever. I mean, is it pressured or hard to bring your own interpretation onto it?
Well, of course, there are many, many interpretations, and I always try to, in the time I really work at myself at the concerto, put away the other interpretations and just work on myself. I have I bought a few months a great first edition about this concerto. It's all handwritten by Elgar. It was a kind of expensive investment, but it's so beautiful and so, you know, clear what he's saying. And so he wrote so many things into the score. So that's really wonderful.
Could you give me an example? I mean, what has he actually written in the score?
Well, all the fine dynamics and tempis and the balance between the soloist and the orchestra playing, and he notated these things so exactly. On the one side, you're so free as a cellist to have your own interpretation and feelings. But on the other side, he writes the things so clearly, and I think we should never forget what is really into the score, and of course find a good balance.
For me, this piece is about a conversation between you and the ensemble. I mean, do you think so?
I totally agree. And it is so, so well written also. It's sometimes very hard to be with the cello in front of the orchestra, because it's just, the range of the dynamics from the orchestra, a huge point which Elgar really did so well. This always makes me very free, you know. You can really go back with the dynamics and really feel free to make it very fine. And especially with these concerts where the emotions are sometimes so clear and clean.
And basically, are you looking forward to working with Sir Neville Mariner and the Academy themselves?
Yes, of course. This is a very, very special moment in my life. We always had recordings at home, and also had many, many recordings of the Academy. So just a thing I really couldn't even dream about. This is really an amazing highlight until now in my life.
I'm Academy viola player Fiona Bonds, and you've been listening to an Academy of St. Martin in the Fields podcast. That's about all we have time for, but the conversation needn't stop there. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the music of Elgar, his cello concerto, and our podcast, so please do get in touch via our official Facebook page or on Twitter at ASMF Orchestra using the hashtag ASMF Podcast. You can experience the Elgar Cello Concerto performed live by Harriet Kleich in Dusseldorf, Frankfurt, and Cologne during the Academy's October 2015 tour with Sir Neville Mariner. For more information and to book tickets for these concerts, please visit asmf.org. So until next time, thank you for listening.